الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين امام قتادة رحمه الله a great tabi'i mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from mankind had divinely selected certain personalities to be his messengers, to be the Anbiya and Rasuls. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the angels had divinely selected and chosen certain angels to be his messengers. Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israfil alayhi salam, Israel alayhi salam. So from mankind Allah chose the Anbiya. From the angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these four special angels. From all the months of the Islamic calendar, Allah Rabbul Izzat chose the month of Ramadan to be the greatest month, followed by the four sacred sanctified months in Islam, Rajab, Zulqadah, Zulhijjah and Muharram. And from the days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the day of Friday. And from the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Laylatul Qadr. So from this we understand Allah Rabbul Izzat has a system, the system of tafdeel, the system of giving preference, the system of honor, blessing certain things with more sanctity and honor compared to others. It's the divine choice of Allah, no one can question it. But coming towards the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, which are very, very sanctified, respected, and great in the sight of Allah. It is an opportunity for a believer to gain the maximum. Like how the blessed month of Ramadan brings great amount, immense blessings with it. Allah Rabbul Izzat made that there are certain other occasions, golden opportunities for a believer to reap the maximum. You look in the business world, the businessman attaches value to material things. And he knows in the year there are certain special periods where he can strike most, where he can acquire the maximum in terms of material benefit, worldly gain, wealth. So beforehand, a businessman, he makes all out preparations to receive that occasion in a good way. So he becomes among the successful, not the failures. And the successful, when the month comes, when the occasion comes and I'm prepared, and we can make most amount of business sales. So he understands the occasion, and he prepares for it well in advance. So in this way we find the beloved Rasul of Allah, our beloved messenger, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us through his words and action, the special occasion that he waited for, that he anticipated. That he anticipated their arrival. And when those special occasions would come, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the Ummah by way of example how to gain from these occasions. Among those special occasions is the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Now if you have to understand the first 10 days of his Zulhijjah, how sanctified, how great, how mubarak and blessed it is in the sight of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that these 10 days of Zulhijjah are the best days in the world. Imagine the Nabi of Allah, he said, these 10 days of Zulhijjah are the greatest and the blessed, the best days in the entire world. Ulama explained after the month of Ramadan. Of course, Ramadan, Sayyidul Shuhur, the hadith says, it's the leader of all months. There's no month in virtue can match the month of Ramadan. But after the month of Ramadan, they find it is these days, the greatest, ranked the most, the highest. Then if you see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, that the one who fasts in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah receives the reward for fasting, the reward of fasting for an entire year. An entire year of nafal roza. And the one who stands up in ibadat, in salah, or performs ibadat during the nights of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, Allah Rabbul Izzah blesses the person with the reward of standing up on Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar. Laylatul Qadr. Of course, Laylatul Qadr has two dimensions. One dimension is any good deed carried out during the night of Qadr, as compared to other nights or other times, the reward is multiplied, multiplication of rewards. Example, a person will perform 4 rakat salah on another night. Hypothetically, suppose he gets the reward of 10 rewards. But if he performs that same 4 rakats on the night of Qadr, he gets the reward 1,000 rewards. So a great, great amount of reward as Allah Pak increases and multiplies. But as far as Laylatul Qadr, there's only one Laylatul Qadr. That is Ramadan in the last 10 days, most of the time. That apart from the rewards being increased and multiplied, it is also multiplied 1,000 months. 1,000 months extra. Of course, in these nights of the first 10 nights of Zulhijjah, a person will receive immense rewards for deeds carried out more than other times. Like carrying out the reward on Layl Qadr, the multiplication and increase in reward, but it will not be multiplied 1,000 months. That is exclusive to the night of Qadr. That is only one night in the entire. That is something. Someone might say that we were working so hard in the month of Ramadan looking for Layl Qadr. Here we get 10 nights. We can get it at what must work so hard for? No, they only get one Laylatul Qadr. So here the meaning of Laylatul Qadr is that the rewards for those deeds will be multiplied, but not multiplied further for 1,000 months. That won't get. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the one who worships Allah on the 8th of Zulhijjah, on the night, 9th of the 8th, the 10th, the 8th, the 9th and the 10th, the one who worships Allah on these nights, then Jannat is his. Jannah, he becomes worthy of Jannat. As our hadith, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned that 5 nights in the year, the 8th of Zulhijjah, 9th and 10th, the night of Eid al-Fitr and 15 Sha'ban. The one who worships Allah on these nights, Allah ta'ala makes Jannat compulsory for such a person. So much of reward. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the person who carries out good deeds during the first 10 days and nights of Zulhijjah, Allah Rabbul Izzat for all good deeds carried out multiplies the reward 700 times. فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to the sahaba and the ummah, increase your tasbih of La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, other hadith mentioned Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. We should increase this during the first 10 days and 10 nights of Zulhijjah. And we should try to fast during the days. And we should try to stand up in ibadah during the night. So much of rewards. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wait for these special occasions. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Hazrat Umar radiallahu, mentioned that the Nabi of Allah never left out 4 deeds. He always carried it out in his life, 4 actions. He says the first was the fasting of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. When we say the first 10 days, we refer to the first 9 days. Of course, the 10th day is the day of Qurban, you can't fast. So when they say first 10 days, they refer to first 9 days. The Nabi of Allah always fasted during the first 9 days of Zulhijjah. The second action is that in the month of Ashura, the Nabi of Allah always fasted on the day of Ashura. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always fasted 3 days during the month, and he always performed the Fajr Sunnah. Of course, there were other things he always did, but these four actions, he highlighted it, that the Nabi of Allah always did this. So how important it is that we also emulate the Mubarak Tariqah, Sunnah, the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These occasions, the special occasion doesn't come all the time. And when the occasion passes, the person loses out. He can't gain that occasion again. So he needs to ask himself, that do I want to gain or I don't want to gain? Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, he says, "Inna iddat al-shuhuri inna Allah ithna ashara shahra." That the months by Allah are 12 months in the Islamic calendar. يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. From the time Allah created the 7 skies and the 7 earths, Allah had recorded it in the Lawh Mahfuz that from the 12 Islamic months, 4 months are sanctified and sacred. And these months are called Ashurul Hurum. Zulhijjah falling part of the Ashurul Hurum. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala thereafter mentioned, said, any good deeds carried out in these 4 sanctified months, besides Ramadan of course, the rewards are increased. And any evil deeds carried out, sins carried out, then the consequence is even more serious as compared to carrying out those sins at other times. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Majid that do not commit sin in these months. Of course, a person should not commit sin at any other time. But more so, when these months are so sanctified, he should show respect and honor to these months and these Mubarak times. Falata, do not oppress yourself committing these sins. Now, if a person, he looks at these special occasions, and he asks himself, that why did Allah Ta'ala attach so much of importance to these special occasions? You know, what's the secret behind it? You know? What is the secret behind it? Of course, the secret is known best by Allah, but what we see from the Quran Majid, Mubarak Ahadith, the Asar of Sahaba, the narrations that we find, what we notice, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the qurbani and the sacrifice of His servants. And Allah Pak thereafter grants blessings. Whenever a difficulty came on Rasulullah sallam, on the Sahaba, on the Ummah, you find that always great, great doors of goodness open up thereafter. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala is a famous Sahabi from the Ashara Mubashara. Those 10 special Sahaba who were granted the glad tidings of Jannat in this world, Abdul Rahman bin Auf. So he mentioned, "Inna wajadna khair al khair fi kur," that we always found doors of Allah's mercy, blessings, grace opening after difficulty. "Inna wajadna khair al khair fi kur." Whenever there was hardship that came, and we persevered, we fulfilled the commands and the orders of Allah. Allah Rabbul Izzat made it that the doors of Hidayat opened, the doors of blessings opened, the doors of Fatah and victory opened. You don't see when the battle of Badr was fought, what happened after that? Now Allah Pakum. When the Hijrat was made, it was a great qurbani and sacrifice. What happened? Islam spread thereafter. We find when Fatih Makkah took place, it was always qurbani, and then after qurbani, Allah's mihrbani came. It was sacrifice, and then Allah's mercy came. So now when you look at this principle, this is the principle of Allah. We make dua for our brothers and sisters in different parts of the globe. They're going through hardship and difficulty. Only they know what they're going through. And they're sacrificing so much. But we know that the end for a believer is Jannat. And Allah will reward him accordingly. So how Allah Pak was there in the time of Rasulullah, Allah was there in the time of Sahaba, Allah is also here at this time also. So we should now cry before Allah, on behalf of the Ummah, especially those in Gaza and other parts of the world who are going through hardship and difficulty. But at the same time, we believe in the promises of Allah and His Rasul. Whatever hardship and difficulty comes over a mu'min, if he perseveres, even if death is written, he will have to leave this world sooner or later. Allah Pak will grant him. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. What do eye has seen, what do ear has heard, what no heart can perceive, the goodness of akhirat, of Jannat, Allah will grant, you know. Now if you look at Hazrat Abu Usman Nahdi, a very great Tabi'i, he mentions, he says that from all the months, the holy, sanctified, sacred months, that there are 3 months. And in these 3 months, there are three sets of 10 days. The month is sanctified and glorified, but the 10 days in that month is ranks even higher than the other days of the month. He says one is the month of Ramadan, the whole month is Mubarak, but the last 10 days ranks higher than the first 20 days. Then if you look at it, then the month of Muharram is Mubarak, but the first 10 days of Muharram ranks higher than the second 20 days thereafter. And then we look at Zulhijjah, the whole month is also Mubarak, but the first 10 days ranks higher than the remainder 20 days. Abu Usman Nahdi mentioned. Until so much so, that it is mentioned that when you look at Muharram, the day of Ashura comes. So Allah Ta'ala granted this ummah the blessings of every ummah. The goodness that Allah granted to every ummah, Allah granted to this ummah. The blessings of every Nabi, Allah granted to our Nabi. And the blessings of every Kitab, Allah Pak granted to our Kitab. He mentioned in the Kitabs of Tafsir, Allah Rabbul Izzat in total revealed 104 scriptures to all the Anbiya in totality. And from all the 104 scriptures, the knowledge of all the scriptures were contained in 4 Kitabs. In the Torah, the Injil, Zabur and Quran. Zabur to Dawud al-Islam, Injil to Isa al-Islam, Torah to Musa al-Islam, and Al-Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the knowledge of all the 4 scriptures, as well as all the scriptures, Allah put it in the Quran. So Allah Rabbul Izzat granted our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Rasul, the goodness of all the knowledge that came to all the Anbiya. The blessings Allah gave to every Nabi individually, separately, Allah granted to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, combined. Collectively, Allah gave everything. Allah. And the goodness that Allah gave to all the ummahs, Allah Pak granted to this ummah, everything. You don't see, when it comes to Kaaba Sharif, the Kaaba is the Qibla of Adam Al Islam, the beginning of humanity. Some narrations mention Allah Ta'ala had created the Kaaba alone, Allah alone. Then Allah Ta'ala thereafter, some narrations mention Allah Rabbul Izzat commanded the angels. Nevertheless, some narrations mention that Allah Pak commanded Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So these were different times. Perhaps maybe the Kaaba Sharif, after such a lengthy period, maybe the structures, whatever, never remained. So then Allah Ta'ala in the time of Adam alayhi salam, Allah commanded, oh Adam, you go and construct it. When Adam alayhi salam constructed the Kaaba Sharif, the angels came to compliment him. And they told him that we created and we constructed and built Allah's house 2000 years ago. So all these narrations are not false or incorrect. Allah Pak also created it. Perhaps Allah Pak made it, the time passed thereafter, it had to be rebuilt, reconstructed. Allah commanded the angels. So the angels have this blessing and they get the good fortune of building Allah's house. Then came the time of Adam alayhi salam. Allah Pak commanded him, you create. Then the time where the floods came and the house went, Allah Pak allowed Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam the honor to build Kaaba Sharif. Allahu Akbar. So the greatest Qibla is Kaaba Sharif. And that was the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah granted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah this Kaaba Sharif. The Qibla of the Jews and the Nasara, the Christians is Baytul Muqaddas. That also Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, the Bani Israel was their Qibla. Allah granted this honor to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we have the 3 harams. The haram of Makkah, haram of Medina, haram of Bayt Muqaddas is our haram, it's ours. Allah granted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah this. If we'll perform that salah, we'll get the reward of 50,000 year also. Masjid al-Nabi 50,000, Masjid al-Haram 100,000. So Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted the goodness of all the Anbiya to our beloved Rasulullah and this ummah. But if you study, you look at it, that Muharram, the first 10 days of Muharram, Allah Ta'ala granted us this honor. This honor was also granted to Musa alayhi salam. It was granted to Musa alayhi salam. Wahb ibn Munabbi mentions, a Tabi. He says, Allah Pak sent wahi to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, saying, O Musa, command your ummah that in the first 10 days of Muharram they must worship me and they should worship me during the days, during the nights. And on the 10th day, that's the highlight, Yawm Ashura, the day Bani Israel was delivered from the tyranny of Firaun and his people, Allah's divine help came to Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. So this gift was granted to Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. On the 10th day, whatever du'as they make to me, I will accept it. As though the first 9 days they must prepare themselves to prepare, present their plea, their supplication in my court, I'll accept it. So Ashura Allah granted us also. We also have Ashura. And Allah Pak made the first 10 days of Muharram also Mubarak. And we also, and Allah Pak made it that the person who fasts during any day of the whole month of Muharram for 1 day, you get the reward of fasting for 1 month. 1 month. And on the day of Ashura, you get the reward of fasting for 1 month and 1 year sins are forgiven. So that was the blessing of Musa Islam. Allah Ta'ala gave them, Allah gave us also. But when it came to the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, this was the honor of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So because the honor of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala increased the virtue, the blessings, Allah made much more. Because this was because of Muhammad Mustafa. That was Musa Islam, we received that also. This was specially for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So for every day you fast, you don't get the reward of 1 month. Roza, you get 1 year Roza. For the night, Laylatul Qadr. For good deeds, 700 multiplied reward. Allahu Akbar. And on the 9th of Zulhijjah, that's Yawmi Arafah, that's the greatest day, that this blessing was specially granted to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 2 years of sins are forgiven. 2 years of sins are forgiven. And if you fast, you get another 1 whole year of Roza. In the night, Jannat is yours, the hadith says. And apart from this, the reward of Laylatul Qadr. All this because Allah Pak loved Rasulullah the most. Allah loved his ummah from all the ummah the most. This is what Allah has granted us. It came when? It came after Qurbani. When Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel had to make that sacrifice, Allah granted them. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his ummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made that sacrifice, Allah Pak granted so much to Rasulullah. The greatest sacrifice who made from the Anbiya? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made. So we so fortunate, we is ummah, we receiving so much. Now imagine if the occasion comes and go, and a person does absolutely nothing. He just goes to shop, he works, where he's working, he does, he comes home, he has his meals, and he just acts like nothing happened. Imagine the grace and blessing Allah is granting. And that person is turning a blind eye, or he's not showing, he's very indifferent, he's not showing that importance. It's like Ramadan came and went, and that person never gained forgiveness. These special occasions come and go, and we're not showing any type of appreciation, gratitude to Allah, Rabbul Izzat for this. Imagine how sad it will be. So we have to appreciate the occasion, understand what the occasion is for us to be able to relate to it, to identify, to understand, oh, we didn't know. Allahu Akbar, this is, we're getting gold here. Allah will grant me and all of us tawfiq of realizing this. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala's report, he mentions that each day of the day, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, each day of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah equals 1,000 days in virtue. 1,000 days in virtue. And the 9th of Zulhijjah, that is the greatest day in the year, equals 10,000 days. 10,000 days. Allahu Akbar in virtue. You can imagine how great the occasion is. Today I was pondering, of thinking, Allah Pak put it in my heart, that's shade with you all, you know. You see, from the galaxy of Anbiya, each and every Nabi was very, very special. Each Nabi's qurbani and sacrifice throughout his life was superb. It was unique. It was the greatest that humanity can ever witness and see. To such an extent that the positions of the Anbiya rank higher than the greatest angels also. See, when Allah Pak is distributing positions, Allah is distributing positions. Allah Pak looks at certain criteria, then Allah Ta'ala grants that positions. Of course, it is the divine mercy of Allah. Then Allah Pak will allow a person to do good deeds. And then Allah Pak will make him worthy. And Allah Pak will grant him the position. But we see in the kitabs, it is recorded that the greatest of Allah's creation, the greatest, are the Anbiya and Rasuls. Greatest. After the Anbiya and Rasul, second in rank, come the four special angels, Jibreel al-Islam, Mikael al-Islam, Israfil al-Islam. They are the leaders of the angels. So, Afzalul Bashar khayru min Afzalil Malaika. We say Rusulul Bashar Afzalul min Rusulil Malaika. In the kitabs of Aqaid it is mentioned, the leaders of mankind are greater than the leaders of the angels. The leaders, who are they? The Rasul and Anbiya. So the Rasul and Anbiya, Allah Ta'ala honored them with a rank even greater than these four angels who are regarded the leaders of the angels. Anbiya and Rasul first. Right. وَعَامَّةُ الْبَشَرْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَامَّةِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So first come the rank of the Rasuls and the Anbiya, then comes the rank of the leaders of angels. Third in rank comes the pious believers. The pious believers' ranks are after the rank of the leaders of angels. So who are the pious believers? The first of the greatest of all the pious believers, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, then Umar Farooq, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, then come all the other Sahaba. Then come the rank of awliya, Piran Pir Abdul Qadir Jilani. You see, so great. Far away from the lowest ranking Sahabi. He was a great wali, of course, very great, but from the Sahabi. So, Ammatul Bashar Khairun Min Ammatil Malaika. The normal believers are greater than the normal Malaika, but lower in rank than the leaders of the Malaika. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, they are greater than all the angels, the pious angels, but lower than the rank of Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, Israel. So can you imagine how high Abu Bakr Siddiq, but he was after this. Then we find Allah, and the sinful believers, the rank lower than the pious angels. The sinners, they are lower than us. Now when Allah Rabbul Izzat was distributing these positions, when Allah Pak was deciding from all the Anbiya, who are the highest of Allah's servants, you can imagine how great they were. Allah Rabbul Izzat chose Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the greatest. Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know how great our Nabi is, that from the galaxy of all Anbiya, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest. It is mentioned if all the Anbiya are put on one side of the pen, of the scale, and all the Ummats also, from the first Nabi, Adam alayhi salam, his progeny right till the last person in the Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one side, and Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is put on the other side of the pen, the Nabi of Allah will outweigh everybody. This was the position Allah granted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine? So these blessings Allah Pak granted Nabi Sallam and his Ummat. Now, Musa Islam, we saw what Qurbani he made. Allah Pak granted him, and the grace was passed on to the Ummat of Nabi Sallam. When it came to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah remind us of the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. Allah Pak. So I mentioned that each Nabi's Qurbani and sacrifice was very great. But when it came to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was unique. That's why ulama mentioned Nabi Sallam is number one on the list, highest Nabi. Number two is Ibrahim alayhi salam. You don't see, is every day when we perform salah, we face the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When we go for Hajj, it's the rituals of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When we go for Umrah, it's the Kaaba of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the Safa Marwa, it's the Safa Marwa of his respected family, Hajar alayhi salam. When we do the Qurbani, it is the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. When we perform salah, that salah won't be complete till we recite durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, durood Ibrahim. Oh Allah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama salli ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. We remember Ibrahim. So, what was it? These 10 days of Zulhijjah, we can never forget the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. And Allah Pak loved it so much, Allah Pak gave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummat. Allah gave us this. Allah gave us. So now, just to go through it, you see on Allah Pak, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam passed all the tests with flying colors, so many tests Allah put him through. He passed all the tests. Right? One test we know, he grew up in a home as a young child, in the home where the soup produced idols. His father was the mastermind in the idol industry, producing, manufacturing, selling, promoting idol worship. He's growing up, but he didn't move off the path of Tawheed. Ibrahim didn't move for 1 second. Then he sees his father, his mother, his family. He guides them. He advises them. They don't pay attention. Ibrahim son's father threatens him. If you continue like this, oh Ibrahim, then I'll pelt you. I'll beat you. He moves away. Then he advises his people. The people don't pay attention to him. He moves away. Then the king of the time, Namrud, hears about Ibrahim alayhi salam worshipping Allah. People went and complained. He called him there. We all know what happened there. The debate took place. He told him that you worship Allah. I am the Lord. He says that no, I am the Lord. He says no, my Allah gives life and death. Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. Qala ana uhyi wa yumeet. He said no, I also give life and death. He called one prisoner, he killed him. He called another prisoner and he set him free. You don't see, I give life, I let this man live. I give death, I kill this man. Then my son realized that this person is too dense upstairs. He can't think, you know. He doesn't understand simple things too. So Ibrahim alayhi salam had to change the whole format of the debate. He said, my Allah brings the sun from the east, cause it to rise, and cause it to set in the west. If you claim to be Allah, you change the pattern, you know. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. This kafir was dumbstruck, he was shocked. So he became angry, he said, burn the fire. An inferno, huge fire was burned, was prepared. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was thereafter thrown in it. This is the Qurbani. Allah Pak is showing us in the Quran Sharif, the Qurbani of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Qurbani. From here we find Ibrahim alayhi salam comes out alive. He comes out alive. Allahu Akbar. He moves from his home, then he moves from his town, then he moves from his country also. He moves away from the country he was staying in. Until he comes to Sham, he comes to Palestine. When he came to Palestine, the test wasn't over. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah Rabbul Izzat commands him, O Ibrahim. He got a child from Hajar alayhi salam. He got a child. So Allah Pak commands him that take your wife and take this child, go leave them in the barren land of Makkah Mukarramah. The full details are not explained how they went to Makkah. But certain hadith mention Ibrahim alayhi salam had a buraq. Nevertheless, when he took them and he left them there, they got little water, they got little food supply. That's all. He leaves them in a barren land, there's nothing. Not even the Kaaba Sharif was there at that time. He turns around and he walks away. And then she shouts, oh Ibrahim, you're leaving us here in this place, there's nothing here. So then he doesn't answer. It's a command of Allah. Submission, obedience to the command. So then she asked, did Allah command you? He nods. He said, "Idan lay yudayya." Allah will never destroy us. Allah will never destroy us. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, immediately turns around. She is happy with the decree of Allah. He leaves her there. Ibrahim alayhi salam goes, there's a mountain there, like a hill. He goes behind the hill where he could see them. They could not see him. He lifts his hands and he makes a lot of dua. Said, oh Allah, I fulfilled your command. Oh Allah, you take care of them. You take care of me. A lot of dua. Now Allah Pak is the most merciful. We cannot imagine anyone who can be more merciful than Allah. Now people at this juncture don't understand. They say a mother won't do this to his child, her child. How can Allah Pak allow Ibrahim alayhi salam take his wife and the child to that barren land? There's nothing there. No, Allah is more merciful than me and you can never think also. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam moved away. The Qurbani had to take place. There had to be sacrifice for this family to gain qabulat by Allah. There had to be that sacrifice has to come. Allah, it's easy for us to say this. Imagine what they went through. So when she moved away, and then that food supply, what they had got finished, and then this child began to cry. This child is crying. And the breast of this mother is not filling with milk. There's nothing. And then she's turning to Allah all alone. And she runs from Safa to Marwa, Marwa to Safa 7 times. That you can imagine the plea and the cry of the heart of this mother. But Allah had a very special plan in place. That plan that we won't understand, but Allah knew. Allah, that plan, insan won't understand. And then the child is crying and the child is hitting, kicking the feet on the ground. Allah Pak thereafter made Jibreel Alayhi Salaam come on the scene. Zamzam water gushed forth. Allah's divine help came immediately. And then we find Allah Pak, Allah opened the way. Everything happened. Everything happened. They didn't undergo difficulty. No, Allah Pak made it. Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam was commanded by Allah to come on the Burak. He used to bring food for them. He used to come and meet them. Very, very often. Allama Ibn Kathir meant to come on the Burak to meet them. This family had to give this sacrifice for them to be honored by Allah, to be the one to build the house of Allah, father and son, Ibrahim and Ismail. That sacrifice had to be there. And that whole family, Allah Pak loved the sacrifice of this family so much, so much. Allah instituted it in the Shariat of Muhammad SAW to be practiced in the Quran, in the Hadith, ila yawmil qiyamah, till the day of qiyamah. Just imagine. Imagine what a sacrifice. Then Allah Pak made it that Ibrahim Islam, till the age of 87, he didn't have children. He made a lot of dua. In the end, Allah Pak granted him this son. And Ibrahim Islam, being the Nabi of Allah, he wants to see the legacy of Hidayat spread from him. So he's near for Allah, grant him a child, oh Allah bless me. It's not because the reasons we have. You know, I'll get a son and, you know, he'll work hard and, you know, he'll take care of me. No, it wasn't this, how Hidayat will spread. When this child grew up, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَا وَسَّعَيَا, when he reached that age that he could move around with his father, assist his father, the apple of his father's eye and heart, Allah Pak shows him the dream. Now this was the ultimate test now. He passed all the tests, ultimate test. Allah Pak shows him in a dream that he's throttling the son. The dreams of Anbiya are wahi. It's not like our dream. We can't see a dream and say we want to throttle our son. It's not permissible. It's not permissible. But a Nabi is dealt with differently. فَلَمَّا قَالَ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْزُرْ مَاذَا. Oh my beloved son, I have seen a dream wherein Allah showed me I'm slaughtering you. This is the command of Allah. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. Oh my beloved father, do as you are commanded. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِ. Soon you will find me to be among the patient. This is what he is. Look at immediate response. So you say the eight of tarwiyah means to think, right? According to some explanation, some say tarwiyah is to think, rawa, you're a tarwiyah. It means on the eighth, Ibrahim has shown this dream. On the ninth, Yom Arafah, he recognized this to be the true dream of Allah. And on the tenth, Yom Nahar, he went to slaughter his son. Some of us didn't explain this. So nevertheless, on the eighth, now Allah Pak made it the eighth, the ninth, the tenth, the 11th, is part of the Hajj of this Ummat, the Hajj. Certain narrations mentioned in Majmu' Zawaid, Allah Rabbul Izzat sent Jibreel Alayhi Salaam to Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam to teach him the entire Hajj, everything. Of course, it was after this incident, after this happened, Allah Pak granted him the Hajj. And Allah Pak made it that the Hajj is the legacy of Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, the Ummat of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also granted this. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam recognized this is a true dream, it is mentioned that he performed tawaf and sa'i. And after he completed that sa'i, he moved towards Mina. The narration of Mustadi Ahmad is, as he's moving towards Mina, Shaitan rushed. But he beat Shaitan to come to Mina. And then he took his son, he was about to slaughter his son, Shaitan came for, and then he began to pelt Shaitan. 7 pebbles he pelted him. That's why we pelt at the Jamarat. Then the son says, oh my beloved father, you're going to slaughter me. So put me on my forehead so you don't see my face. It won't be difficult for you. You put me there. And then you take that knife and you slaughter me. Perhaps maybe that fatherly love that will enter your heart, that will stop you from carrying out the command of Allah if you see my face. I don't want that to happen. So Allah Pak says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. And remember, when father and son both submitted before the command of Allah, he lay his son on the ground on his forehead. Allah said, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. And then he had taken that knife. Now he's going to slaughter his son. You can imagine. So just before that, the riwayat of Mustadi Ahmad, Hazrat Ismail Islam told his father, oh my beloved father, this kurta that I have, this white kurta, this is the only kurta I have. I only have this kurta. If you slaughter me, then the blood of my body will stain this kurta. It'll be difficult for you to use it as my kafan. Oh my father, let me take it out. You can slaughter me without this kurta, then you can put me in my kafan, and then you can bury me. And then Ibrahim, he took out the kurta and he lay down. And then Allah Pak said, Jibreel alayhi salam, وَنَادِيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. He called out, "Oh Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ رُؤْيَا." The dream that you are shown, you caused it to come true. In other words, you tried your best to fulfill the command of Allah, what you are shown in the dream. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَزِّلْ مُحْسِنِ. In this way, we accept and we reward the good doers. We reward the good doers. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. Allah says, indeed, this was a very great test you have put through. Allah says, this was the ultimate test. He passed this test. Now Allah Pak made it that this special qabooliyat and the special acceptance came to Ibrahim al-Islam, Ismail al-Islam, the family. Allah allowed them to build the Kaaba Sharif. Ismail al-Islam helped his father. In some narrations, some mufassiri mentioned he put the knife and the knife would not cut because Allah Pak made it that there was some iron that came there, it wouldn't cut. And then Jibreel al-Islam brought the ram from Jannat. Allah, that ram was brought from Jannah. This was the ram of Habil. Habil and Qabil at the beginning of time, where they both had a dispute who will marry whose sister. Allah Pak there commanded that present some sacrifice. So Habil, he was a agriculturist, farmer with fruits and vegetables. So he put the best vegetable. Qabil was the farmer of vegetables. He put the worst vegetables. And Habil, he was a person, livestock, he was in dealing in animals, so he put the best animal there. Allah Pak made it, the fire came and took it up. The fire came and took it up. A sign of acceptance. Allah Ta'ala kept this ram in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala kept it there. For this occasion. It was grazing in Jannat. When Allah Ta'ala brought it, Ibrahim al-Islam, that he passed the test. You can imagine how happy Ibrahim al-Islam was. Ismail al-Islam, the family are happy. How happy Allah Pak became with them. Now Allah Pak made it that all these rituals, Allah Pak made it part of the Ummat of Rasulullah till the day of Qiyamah. Till the day of Qiyamah, Hajj will carry out. Once when Sahabi was on the plains of Arafah or Mina, and he wanted to come close to Rasulullah SAW, Nabi SAW sent a message, "Remain where you are. Innakum ala irsim min irsi Ibrahim." For this entire land of Arafah is among the legacy of Ibrahim al-Islam. Allah, so they say, this is Ibrahim al-Islam, Ibrahim al-Islam again. Qurbani time, we are reminded of the sacrifice of Ibrahim al-Islam and his family. Again, when you put that knife, we think of the sacrifice. The Sahaba said, "O Nabi of Allah, ma hadhi ladahi, what is this sacrifice we are every year?" Nabi alayhi salatu wassalatu wassalam mentioned, "Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim." That this is the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim al-Islam. "Fama lana fiya rasul," said, "What will we receive?" "Bikulli sha'ratin hasana," for every strand of hair on the back of that camel, that cow, that goat, Allah Pak will grant you a reward. Every hair. "Fasuf ya Rasul," what about wool, sheep? "Bikulli sha'ratin minas," for every fiber of, small fiber of wool, Allah Pak will grant you a reward. So when the days, the 10 days of Zulhijjah comes, it reminds us of that great sacrifice. See, Musa al-Islam and Bani Sa'im made a sacrifice, Ashura came. Ibrahim al-Islam, Ismail al-Islam and his entire family made the sacrifice, Allah made the Hajj come. Allah Ta'ala made the Qurbani come. Allah Ta'ala made so much of fazail, so much of goodness, so much of goodness. We are reaping of all that goodness. So wherever this Qurbani, then Allah's doors open of mercy. Allah's mihrbani comes. So just one, two important things is that on the 9th of Zulhijjah, even more important to fast compared to other days. If some person is difficult for him to fast for the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, at least he should fast on the 9th of Zulhijjah. It is sunnat for those who are not in ihram. For people who are in ihram performing hajj, Rasulullah didn't fast when he was in hajj. To make it easy for the hajis, he didn't fast. Because there's a lot of rituals that are to be carried out. So the Rasul of Allah made it easy for his ummah. Apart from those in ihram, in hajj, others we should try to fast. Great rewards, great rewards. Then on the day of Arafah, we should recite the following dua in abundance. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd biyadil khayru wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Great reward for reciting this. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd biyadil khayru wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The Nabi of Allah, he would recite on the day of Arafah this in abundance. So we should, this is for all people, whether those in Hajj or those not in Hajj, anybody. As far as those in Hajj, on the day of Arafah, the hadith mentions something special for them. Of course, others can also practice upon it, and there's great reward in practicing. On the day of Arafah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that this day a person should make a lot of dua. So duas are accepted on special occasions. On this occasion of Arafah, This is for the Haji and besides the Haji. Lot of dua we should make on the day of Arafah. Duas are accepted, you know. Duas are accepted. See, pious people, they wait for special occasions. They know what the occasion brings. So if a person got any problem, and he makes dua on these special occasions, Allahu Akbar, then there's hope for that qabulat of that dua to be accepted. Whatever problem a person got financially, he got spiritually, he got physically, whatever problem, when these occasions come, make lot of dua. The Nabi of Allah made lot of dua on the day of Arafah. And he said, recite this zikr. So on the day of, it is mentioned that on the day of Arafah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu mentioned, of course, hadith, Allah Pak emancipates more people from the fire of Jahannam on this day compared to any other day. On the day of Arafah. So you want maghfirat also on this day. Then, the haji, what he should recite, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulk walhamdu ala kulli shay'in qadeer 100 times. Surah Ikhlas 100 times and Durood Sharif 100 times. This is for the haji. For people not in hajj also, we can also do it. But especially for the haji, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahul mulk walhamdu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Surah Ikhlas 100 times. So this dua, La ilaha illallah 100 times. Surah Ikhlas 100 times and Durood Sharif 100 times. The one who does this, Allah Pak becomes so pleased, Allah Ta'ala addresses the angel saying that, oh my angel, look at my servant. He has remembered me, glorified me, praised me. Whatever he asks for, I'll grant it to him. And if he has to intercede for all the people standing on the plains of Arafah, I'll accept his intercession for all. Allahu Akbar, so much. We should make a lot of dua, then we should read, the dua also we should make. Allahumma atiq raqabati minanar. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to make this dua abundantly on the day of Arafah, and he would inform his friends. It's a very jami dua. It's a very, very comprehensive and a very great dua. Allahumma atiq raqabati minanar. That, oh Allah, free my neck from the fire of Jahannam. Wa awsi ali minar rizqil halal. Bless me with abundant halal sustenance. Wasrif anni fasaqat al jinn wal ins. And oh Allah, repel from me the evil transgressing and evil people from humans and from the jinn. What people got jadu problem, jinnah problem. This dua is very, very important. They got enemies also. Allahumma atiq raqabati minan nar wa awsi'li min ar-rizq al-halal wasrif anni fasaqat al-jinn wal-ins. Very, very important. Then, for those who are going to do qurbani from the beginning of the month of Zulhijjah, we should not clip our nails and cut our hair. So a person before that, he must clip his nails, unwanted hair, he should cut, remove it, so that these first 10 days, he should not. Those who intend doing qurbani. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned those who wish to do qurbani, then they should not clip their nails, not cut their hair. Now what's the hikmah, the wisdom behind it is that animal substitutes you in the sight of Allah. See, Ibrahim A.S. was asked to give a sacrifice. He was asked to give his son. Of course, Allah Pak made it easy, gave the ram in place of it. So in other words, that sacrifice, it represented a soul, a life. So we are commanded to give one animal. So that animal, you must look at that animal to be representing you. And when you go to sort of the animal as though that whole animal will represent your whole body. So don't remove any of your nails or any of your hair, because that whole animal must represent you. You should not remove any parts of your body in order for that entire animal to represent your entire body. Now this is a hikmat. Allah Pak knows best. This is what the fuqaha mentioned. And some say that why we should not clip our nails and cut our hair is because we resemble those who are on the plains of Arafah or the Haji. They also don't remove their hair. So they are doing the great pilgrimage, the great rituals. We also have a share in that also. Some mentioned this here. Then during these 10 days of Zulhijjah, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, mentioned hadith, we should also, during the whole 10 days of Zulhijjah, and on the 9th of Zulhijjah, from the Fajr of the 9th, right till the 13th Asr, we should recite the Takbirat al-Tashriq. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. We should recite it once. From the 9th Fajr right till the 13th Asr, this is now the laws of Takbirat al-Tashriq after all the Farz Salah and after the Eid Salah. So 23 Farz Salah and after the Eid Salah also, we should recite this year. Inshallah, we'll continue next week, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, subhanallah.
اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم لك الحمد كما انت اهله فصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما انت اهله وافعل بنا ما انت اهله فانك اهل التقوى واهل المغفره يا اول الاولين يا اخر الاخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوه المتين يا ارحم الراحمين ظلمنا انفسنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة بعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج عن غم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم احفظ أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أيديهم وخلفهم عن أيمانهم عن شمائلهم من فوقهم من تحتهم اللهم أخرج اليهود اللهم أخرج اليهود اللهم أخرج اليهود اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان يا رحم الراحمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي كل مكان يا رحم الراحمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه رحمة الله.